We are continuing our study on leadership. I want to thank Dustin for filling in for me last week. It was a great opportunity to join some of our young people at ECEC up in Rock Hill. I'll tell you what, it was very, very encouraging to see these young people learning how to be better evangelists, learning how to share the gospel in a very, very technical aspect, learning how to share the gospel with others. I was very proud of the group that we took with us and very proud of the young people gathered there, taking that opportunity. For kids to sit in a church building for, 8, 9 hours, 10 hours straight with lunch and then another little break in there to play some sports, basketball and at the Y a little bit, dodgeball I think they played. But for them to sit for 10 hours, learn how to be evangelist, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. We should be very proud of our young people. So that's one of the reasons that we are studying leadership. One of the reasons that we are looking at how to be better leaders, looking at the different characteristics of leaders, is that so we can better go out and lead others to Christ. We've talked about since the beginning idea that if we are succeeding and excelling at being better leaders, whether it be in our workplace, at school, in worship, in the church, in our families, our homes, wherever it may be, if we are excelling at being leader, then we are going to be better positioned to be servants of God. As we've looked at these characteristics, some have been ones that are very difficult and challenge us on a daily basis. Some have been a little bit easier, but still very challenging. The one today I want to look at seems like it would be easy from a technical standpoint because it's literally right in front of us. But it may be one of the most difficult that we talk about. When I say it's right in front of us, a trait or a characteristic of a leader is a leader uses what is around them and seizes the opportunity. A leader uses what is around them and seizes opportunity. Booker T. Washington, at 16 years old, heard about a school in Virginia. So he traveled 500 miles, much of which was on foot, sleeping under bridges, on sidewalks. And when he arrived at school, he had no application. He had no appointment. He had recommendations, no plan. Upon entering the school, he noticed a broom in the corner of the room. He immediately picked it up and cleaned the room spotless. An impressed instructor said, "I guess you will do anything to enter this institution." And he did. So Booker T. Washington used what was around him and seized an opportunity. Had no plan when he got there. It all came to fruition through his desire to work, press. When we think about, from a biblical nature, this idea of seizing opportunity and those things that are around us, my mind goes to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Well, it's not 1 Peter chapter 3, 14. Let's move on to my next patch here. I apologize. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, beginning of verse 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is that idea that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever the circumstances may be, because we have written God's Word in our hearts, it is a teaching moment. It is an opportunity to tell someone about Christ. It's an opportunity to lead someone to Christ. But again, we can't be in that mindset unless we have done what? Written His Word in our hearts. So how do we do that? Very simple word. Study. That's right. When we study something, when we have invested our energy, our mind into the Word of God, it becomes a part of our heart, doesn't it? Then when we are out involved in different aspects of our lives, we will see the broom in the corner of the room, won't we? We're going to go through a couple of Bible examples, most of which involve Jesus. When opportunity was taken to teach, when what was around him was used and the opportunity was seized. Let's first turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 13. Sure. Right.
But when he went to Samaria and others went to other areas, they told their experience what the Lord has done for them. You're changing them to what they have become.
That's right.
You know, use your experience. And I told Todd Wesley, the fellow who left from here is in Liberia, West Africa, now spreading the gospel with the Johnsonville Road Church of Christ over there. I told him that he was qualified. He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, you use your experience, your conversion experience. Just tell people what happened to you.
Sure.
What I have done for you."
Yeah, there's absolutely an aspect of what we're talking about here that is
right.
Is using experience to teach, but we're talking about in the moment. So we want to look at some of these opportunities in the moment where you seize that, you seize what's around you, and use it to teach someone about Christ. We look at Mark chapter 10, verse 13. We have here Jesus with his disciples. In verse 13, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." So here they were, Jesus and his disciples, and it had been a busy day. A lot had been going on, and here towards the end of the day, the people are bringing children to Jesus. And for all of you parents, the end of the day, when the children gathering around, you're a little worn out, they're a little wound up, it's going to be stressful, can it? So these disciples were saying, no, we're not in the mood right now. It's not a good opportunity. It's not a good time. What did Jesus say? No. Bring it to me. Why? Because they're special, but also because it's an opportunity to teach. Because what was the next thing out of his mouth? It was a lesson, wasn't it? So you're bringing these young people to me. I'm going to tell you about children. I'm going to tell you about an innocent mind. I'm going to tell you about someone who is excited. You know, I think there's a lot of applications that can be drawn here. And he says, what? For such belongs the kingdom of God, these children. Truly I say to you, whoever has not received the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. What are some thoughts on that? Only children in heaven? No, we know that's not the case. What are some thoughts? Go ahead.
My observance of children. They still love you as a parent or a grandparent. You know, if you tell them, they understand that you're disciplining for their own safety. You know, they can't go outside where the traffic is or whatever. And they may not like that, but they still, 5 minutes later, they still want to give you hugs and all that other stuff. And a lot of times, as adults, we take correction and discipline as a negative.
Sure.
When God is trying to protect us and keep us harm, or maybe an individual is trying to protect us or to keep us harm, and we take that in negative.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great point. I mean, I think of Mac, and when I have to get on to him about something, as soon as I've gotten on to him, and he's upset, what does he want? He wants me to hold him. Wants me to hug him. Or if Abby's within eyesight, he wants mommy to hold him and hug him. But that's that desire of comfort and love and seeking that figure to them, which in his mind is mommy and daddy. You know, in our mind it's our God. When we have struggle, when we have difficulty, and we may have to reap the repercussions of those things, of bad decisions. We look for the comfort and the peace we find in the Lord, right? Any thoughts? Yes, ma'am. Yes, as Christians, do we have a sincere heart, sincere desire for God, a sincere desire for His Word, a sincere desire to please Him and to serve Him? Those things that we find in a child wanting to please, right? Something else was touched on there. Another idea of the innocence. Go ahead.
Acceptable leadership.
Okay. That's right.
That's where, as adults, it's all said, now we're adults, don't tell me nothing.
Yeah.
That's what happens a lot of times when there's people who are, there is a set structure. You should listen to
Sure. I mean, when you look at the eldership, that's their role, yeah, right?
That's what you lead follower to get out there.
And Glenn.
I got Brian right there. You know, the other aspect, again, that was touched on, we'll kind of finish this one up and move on to the illustration. Talked about the purity of a child. Well, we, you know, just study about from the pulpit, from Brother Dustin, when we obey Christ, when we obey God, when we come Christ in baptism, we become like what? Like a child. From that purity standpoint, from that innocent standpoint, when we've been washed clean by the blood of Christ, we have that purity of a child, right? So obviously in this text, as we talk about the kingdom of heaven belongs to a child, that child of God, that one who's pure and innocent because of the blood of Christ, right? Teaching opportunity that the Lord took as the children were brought to Him. In the moment, using what was around him. Turn to John chapter 8.
Glenn.
Yes, Sam.
Also, the heart of a child can be characterized as a heart of total trust, dependency, meekness, and all these things.
That's right.
You know, in the heart of a child.
That's right. You know, if I stand at the end of the bed and Max sitting there, and I have my arms out, he's going to step off. Now, I could move arms, but he puts total trust in me. And do we have that total trust in God that he's going to do what he's told us he's going to do, that he is the same and always will be? Do we have that total trust in God, or do we question? Do we go through life with the idea of, you know, I'll pray for it, but then I'm not, I don't know. Let me stay in control of this. Let me have my hands on this. I mentioned that heat. It's kicking. All right. John chapter 8, beginning verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses command us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" They said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." So, we talk about opportunities that are there, using what's around us. Now, does that mean that we just float through life, doing our thing, and hopefully, maybe, we'll have that room in the corner? There might be some things that come about. But what about living our life in such a way that we are positioning ourselves have those moments, opportunity. Where was Jesus? He's in the temple, right? He was teaching. So you think, well, that doesn't seem like a spontaneous opportunity. I mean, he's in a temple preaching and teaching. Then what happened? Because he was in a place where people were of spirit mindset, those who even were trying to trick him and gain the upper hand on him, if you will. But it was still putting himself in a situation where there would be a spirit mindset. There would be questions asked. There would be opportunities. So in that situation, in the temple, what happens? Scribes and Pharisees bring the woman to him. Now, do you think that was his sermon outline for that morning? Had he gone in and sermon outline in the temple that morning was on adultery? And so that's what we're going to talk about. No, it doesn't appear to be. We don't know specifically what he was teaching up to that point when they brought the woman before him, but I'd venture to say it wasn't a lesson on adultery. So this opportunity arose, and it was time to change topics, right? Brian, do you have your hand up?
Yeah. When we think about Jesus preaching and teaching, it's more than just being spiritual and being positioning himself. Jesus was out there preaching and teaching the purity of things. He was different.
Yeah. Right.
He was totally different than everybody else. And that has a big thing to do with us. We can act like we can conduct our lives like everybody else who supposes to be religious. We can teach us the same things them. And if we do so, we're never positioning ourselves to be like Jesus here.
Yeah.
When we preach the unadulterated gospel, we're going to be different. And when we're different, people will come to us.
That's right. Yeah, it's interesting. The characteristic of a leader we're talking about is seizing opportunities and seizing them in those things that are of the moment. We didn't say whether we had manufactured those opportunities or whether they truly were spontaneous. We didn't say that, did we? We just said taking advantage of opportunities and those things that are right there in front of us, right? There's nothing wrong with us. In fact, there's everything wrong with us not living in a way that we are peculiar and strange and different, such that by these opportunities we'll manufacture themselves in our lives. Could be because someone's wanting to be negative towards us, opportunity to teach. Could be because someone's be positive towards us, opportunity to teach. So we've lived our lives in a way that we've manufactured some of these opportunities. They don't all have to be spontaneous. In fact, most are going to be because of the way we're acting or living or speaking and things we're doing. We'll get into some of the specific opportunities as they look in our lives here in just a moment. Just remember, these opportunities, we didn't talk about how they come. We talked about what we do whenever we see them. Right.
He was willing to say what needed to be said. He was willing, if you will, to preach so that people would stand at attention to him and listen. And so he had authority, and then he also had compassion to see the result of those.
Yeah, that's right. And go back to the characteristics that we've already talked about. What's a good characteristic of a leader? Courage. That's absolutely one. I thought it interesting here as well, as you look at this account, he wasn't. He didn't just teach a lesson to the scribes and Pharisees, did he? wasn't just a lesson for them. Who else was taught a lesson here in this opportunity?
The woman.
She was about to die.
I'm going to listen to what he said.
Right.
So I think what the leadership is showing love and compassion when everybody else would.
Sure.
When Jesus spoke to the high command, he fell among thieves. The priest passed by on the side, didn't stop. Who stopped? The Levite wasn't considered the Samaritan. He was considered a good person, right?
Or a happy or a clean. Yeah.
That was different. The Sadducees and Pharisees were religious, but they weren't showing any love.
Who was the third group that learned a lesson here?
Those who gathered to hear him teach.
That's right. Remember, what was Jesus there? He was there teaching already. Then came the scribes and Pharisees, right? With the woman. What do you think? All these other people that had gathered around to hear Jesus teach, they're sitting here, and this all transpired in front of them. And they see Jesus do what? Seizes an opportunity presented to him. See him display this great leadership characteristic. Didn't shy away from it. He was courageous. Handled it in a compassionate way. The scribes and Pharisees, it was never about the woman.
No.
Right? Remember, what did they say? Or what does Scripture tell us? Through inspiration, through the Holy Spirit, we know their hearts, don't we? This they said to test him, verse 6, that they might have some charge to bring against him. We know because of the Holy Spirit, their hearts. It's never about a woman. That's right. It wasn't about justice. It was never about justice with Jesus, was it? To the scribes and Pharisees, to the Jews. So we have multiple learning the lesson here. Let's move on to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll go to the end of the chapter. Begin in verse 38. I think most of us know the account. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So again, Jesus has put himself in a situation. Because what was he doing in the house? So he had come and he was in the house of Martha and Mary. And what does it say he was doing? Verse 39. He was teaching. He was involved in spiritual dialogue. Are we seeing? Are we going back to what we initially talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 6? How it's this constant, this way we live our lives, this way we speak, the way we conduct ourselves in a spiritual nature. And what happens? Well, a little bit of a sister issue. Right? Martha comes and she's irritated. They've got a guest in their home. She's preparing meals. She might be preparing a place for Jesus to sleep. She's getting her house in order, and she's kind of running the show herself. She's irritated. She goes to Jesus. Can you tell my sister to help me out here? I'm just thinking by myself. Well, could Jesus' response have been, Mary, she's right. Kind of got a hands full. If you could go, help her. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'll be good if you need to go help her make the meal. You don't have to entertain me. We've had kind guests in our homes. Like, don't worry about me. I'm good. I'm okay. Go take care. What did he say? As the guest in the home. He said, no. She's chosen the more important thing. Well, you're in somebody's home and they're preparing a meal for you, and you tell them, that's the most important thing. Go ahead, Wes. Maybe I just That's right.
And what are the consequences if we don't see the moment?
You know, by its nature, what's the thing about an opportunity in the moment? In that moment. Now might a similar opportunity come again?
You hope so.
You hope so. It's probably not going to be identical. May not be that exact same could I go down to the kingdom, have that exact same situation? Possibly. Might it be the same tour guide? Probably not. Might it be the same people on the tour with me? Absolutely not. What are the odds, right? So there might be very, very similar new opportunities, but the thing about an opportunity in the moment, it's in that moment. All right. Now, hopefully, in our workplace, around the same people a lot, very repetitively, so you hope those opportunities come up a little more frequently in that way. But the thing about an opportunity in the moment is it's in the moment. So that's absolutely right. When we don't take that opportunity, we allow the opportunity for error. Whether specifically we taught in lieu of what we would have said, or just the truth is not taught, error is reinforced later.
Yeah, I just keep thinking about Paul writing in Colossians. He says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, who is our life?" What does that mean? It means is it just our life on Sunday morning? Yep. I think so, definitely. Christ is our life. Every opportunity and every action that we do should involve Him. My neighbor should know where I'm at this morning.
Right.
My neighbor should know what I'm doing during the week by my actions. If Christ is my life,
yeah.
My kids should know what's important to me by what is my life. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't stand on the street corner and yell at people and beat them over the head, or I've seen actions where people are carrying crosses down the road and they're bloody and they're trying to bring attention to themselves. But if Christ is my life, maybe I need to be more adamant about seizing those opportunities, but it should be evident by those around me.
Sure. No, absolutely. You know, are we invited by coworkers to do certain things that we just don't do? And the thought cross your mind after they invite you that, why in the world would they invite me to that? Oh, maybe I hadn't been clear on what I will or won't do, what I engage in or don't engage in, where my priorities are. Maybe I hadn't been quite clear on that. Whether it be through specific conversation and the way I'm conducting myself in front of them. Let's look at more, and then I do want to go into to opportunities. About 3 minutes, so we're gonna knock it out real quick here. If we look at Acts chapter 17, and we'll just briefly go over this, won't read it. What's going on in Acts chapter 17, later part of the chapter? Paul in Athens, and he sees what?
The unknown God.
Ha ha. He's the one I'm going to teach you about. I'm going to seize this opportunity to teach you about God. Right? So even Paul, we here have evidence of him taking opportunity, seizing that was in front of him in the moment, and using it to teach others about God. So as we've looked at these examples of Christ, of Paul, seizing the opportunity, using what was around them, what are some of our opportunities? Can we be creative in our conversations? What do I mean by that? Creative in our conversations. So we're at work, and current events is the subject matter. And there's, you can fill in the blank. There's a whole lot of current events going on, right? Can we be creative in our conversations that current events can allow an opportunity to talk about Christ? What about a business situation? We're going into a meeting with a big client, and Boy, it's going to be real important that we get this client. But didn't find out that this was the case, and that may lose four people. We're just not going to bring that up. Or, you know, if we want to gloss over this part of whatever, fill in the blank in your workplace. In business opportunities, can we say, here we go. Here's my chance. I'm going to seize what's in front of me. We're going to have a conversation about honesty. We're going to have a conversation about integrity. We're going to have a conversation about how I conduct myself as a Christian at the possible loss of whatever. What about mistakes? We've already talked about this one. Characteristic of a leader. They're able to show their scars, right? Say, I messed up. Is that a moment we can see, teach? Is that an opportunity right here for us to take hold of? Say, listen, I made a mistake. Whether small or big, I made a mistake. But I want you to know that I'm not proud of it. I want you to know that I'm sorry. I want you to know I'm going to work hard to make it right. Is that a moment we can seize when things go wrong? Absolutely. What about opportunities to show you care? A moment that is presented to you like this, where you can reach out, maybe even literally, reach out and lift someone up. Opportunities to help people, opportunities to care. They're great in the moment. Use what's around you, opportunity. What else? We are pretty much out of time. Anybody else have any ideas on this, Brian?
Sometimes we miss opportunities.
Sure.
And we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to do some self-assessment, which oftentimes we're not real bad.
Sure.
And realize we've missed something, not just beat ourselves up, resolve that we will do better at identifying those opportunities in the future and seize upon them. We can learn ourselves from when we don't seize on an opportunity.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Isn't that funny that us missing an opportunity becomes an opportunity for us? So now we have a teachable moment for us. You know what? Man, that one was right there. That was a softball. And I didn't do anything. I missed it. I'm going to look for that opportunity again. In fact, to a point earlier, I'm even figure out a way to manufacture that opportunity again. Look back on it. Think about the situation. Do everything you can to recreate it. I mean, that's the nice thing about hindsight, right? It's 2020. I think I could probably, if I work hard, I could probably put myself in that situation again. I bet I could recreate that opportunity. And this time, I'm going to take control. You can definitely do that. Absolutely. Well, again, we are out of time, but appreciate everyone's thoughts this morning, and thank you for your time.